I have experienced burnout before, and it definitely got me to a place where I like didn't like my career and my roles and everything. And
sure.
I don't like that. You know, I love what I do every day, and I want to get to that place. And I think now I feel a sense of responsibility because I have other people that I'm responsible to, that I lead, that I need to model that for them if I'm expecting that of them.
Welcome to the Creative Brief. Today, I sit down with Alex Rodriguez, brand director for Bayer Performance Nutrition. Now, if you don't know BPN, it's a creator-led, veteran-owned supplement company located right here in Texas. Started on YouTube, and it's seen meteoric success, estimated to make $40 million in annual sales. Pretty impressive. Alex tells the story of leaving his job at Adidas to build something that he really believes in. And in the process, how his faith and unique perspective have allowed him to build a truly remarkable team. You don't want to miss this one. I'm Brian Athey, and this is the Creative Brief. All right, so we're going. Alex Rodriguez, welcome to the Creative Brief. So glad to have you. How's it going, man?
Brian, thank you so much for asking me to be on your podcast. It means a lot. It's super humbling, and don't take it for granted. I'm doing great. It's chilly in Texas, which cannot be said of all times. And I love cold weather. So
you got the Letterman jacket on.
I got a Letterman jacket on, you know, just tell me that's keep up with the kids.
Tell me that's a secret project that's coming up in the next couple of months. Tell me you're testing that out so you can
no,
do some work on
those. Sadly, no, but I did wear it to a photo shoot and people were asking, when can we get that? Just because it has our BPN colors. And I was like, you probably can't. Like, we're not going to do this.
Plant the seed, though. One day.
Maybe one day.
Well, Alex, you are the brand director at BPN. Is that right?
That is my title on paper. Yes.
Okay. Brand director at Bayer Performance Nutrition. Tell me a little bit about what the brand director position is there.
Yeah. So I think over the years, I mean, at this point, I'm going on almost 3 years being there.
Oh, wow. That flew.
It did fly by. I feel like it takes on a lot of different meanings and different seasons and kind of, you know, sprints. But if I were to boil it down, I think if you look on like Google or anything like that, like the brand director definition is probably not going to be what I do. But for me, like the way I see it and the way that I operate is I am guarding the way our brand looks, feels, is experienced by the masses, whether it's online, social media, our website, and in between. So that looks a lot of different ways, like, you know, being involved in photo shoots and campaigns or overseeing like creative ads, creative assets and all different channels. So it just depends. Involved in like R&D process of some products, of, you know, how they look when people get it, you know, how they look on shelf now that we're in retail. So there's a lot of in-betweens that I'm involved in.
Yeah, it seems like no small task because, I mean, just as like an outside observer, BPN is like an incredibly brand-driven company, founded sort of the founder built his YouTube channel and his YouTube presence and a lot of momentum there. And now this brand is full spectrum. It's everything from packaging and apparel and marketing campaigns. And I mean, it seems like you're doing a little bit of everything. How are you able to like juggle that full spectrum of stuff? Because I mean, when you say you're 3 years in, you're really just a couple years into your career beyond that, right?
Yes and no. I mean, I always tell people like my journey to get to BPN was kind of like very orchestrated in a very, very meticulous, very planned way. And I am a Christian, so I like believe in the sovereignty of God. And I think that everything kind of worked out how he thought it would. I worked at a church for 3.5 years. Okay. On a creative team in-house. And my role there, that was my first job out of college. So I studied graphic design. So
at LSU, go Tigers.
At LSU, that's correct. we only go Tigers here. But I didn't have any experience on anything. And for me, that those 3.5 years were very formative of like creative direction and like art direction, and working at a church was really trying at times because it's such a fast paced environment. There's not a lot of metrics. There's not a lot of like, you know, feedback from consumers. It's very like, sometimes you just have to guess if you're doing a good job. So after that, I left that after 3.5 years to go work for Adidas, which I worked there for a year. And then when I was at Adidas is when I got approached about the opportunity to BPN and came to BPN. So I think at the core of it all, like what I'm passionate about is creativity and how we use creativity to drive progress and results. And I think that's why I don't say like, oh, I'm just a graphic designer, but I'm also not just a creative director. I feel like I can sit in a meeting and talk strategy and like to no end, like ideas and things. So I think that's why this has been a really sweet spot for me, because I'm not just doing one thing every day. I'm just kind of flowing from here to there. And you could see it, like you said, you know, different, almost different industries that in other cases, like an agency, are kind of siloed. But for me, it's like, I can one day be working on packaging, and the next day we're working on a campaign and a photo shoot. The next day we're doing apparel. The next day we're, you know, revamping the website or whatever else, doing an event in person. So I think for me, it's kept my love for just creative and creativity and creatives in general, just like being able to free flow between all this like different, I don't know, disciplines really.
It's not the same thing every day, right? So I think I heard you say you feel like you put your reps in when you were working at the church because it was just so fast paced, and you were you one of just a few or maybe the only graphic designer there?
When I started for like a year, it was only two of us. And then our creative team as a whole, we had an in-house creative team. That the church was pretty big in town. It had 6 campuses. So we had like a pretty substantial like workload. So then we started to build our creative team. And when I came in, the team was like 4 or 5 people. When I left, it was like 13 people on the team.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, I had been like kind of promoted to be more of like creative director, art director role. And then I was managing other designers. So that was kind of where I first got a little taste of like being in leadership and like making decisions and empowering other people to do it. And that's why I say, I feel like that was for me, like the most formative time of my career, because there was not a lot of, it was a lot of pioneering in many ways. And I think that's something that I love. And I realize now after 7, 8 years in the industry of like, what really interests me is like pioneering and like building something that no one else like has built before, or there's very little clues to how to do it because there's a lot of freedom in that. Though there is a lot of like uncertainty, and there's a lot of hard times and hard decisions you have to make. But I like that versus like turnkey things like, oh, we're making ads. Oh, we're making like, you know, billboards. And there's nothing wrong with that. I feel like I've met so many of my friends in college that are in the same field that enjoy going to work every day and working on paid ads all day and,
right,
you know, production design, and they love it. And I'm like, I could not do that. I want to do the different things every day.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I'm the same way, and I've, you know, the same way you said, I appreciate folks that can sort of settle into a rhythm. Mm-hmm. But I've always felt there's like a, sort of like a stagnation that happens when you're doing the same thing every day and the ideas are not always fresh, or you're not always inspired to break some rules and do different things. And I think that's what's so unique about, you know, watching the BPM brand evolve. I'm trying to pinpoint what that mark would have been when you got there, but I remember distinctly there was like this values campaign, or maybe like a yeah, I think it was values or like what we stand for, like the bare standard stuff that came out a couple years ago.
So that was like right when I started, because that was actually a freelance work that I did for them while I was at Adidas. And one of my buddies from LSU that works here still with us, he was already here working for Nick, and he had reached out to me and he was like, hey, we really need some design help for this project. So I jumped on and like kind of created that like whole branding for that. And then when that was said and done, that's when Nick was like, hey, like, do you want to come work for us?
Dude, unbelievable. You said, like, I remember that distinctly because, you know, as a follower of the brand, I was scrolling through the account one day and that campaign hit me. It was like this, you know, one of the swipe throughs, one of the carousel images on Instagram. And I was like, oh, that's a step up. Like that is, that's way different than what they usually post. And things have just like gone from there. I think that you've had your hands in a ton from like defining what the brand actually is. And now looking at some of the stuff that's come out, even over the last year and the Black Friday campaign, it's evolved to be so much more like, hand done, tactile, like this really cool stuff. I remember you guys launched you launched the gels just a couple of weeks back and it looks like you were like using sriracha and stuff to make the assets for that campaign.
Yeah. I mean, now obviously our whole team, I'm really thankful for everybody that we work with because everybody's just so creative. And Ethan, one of our other designers, had come up to me and he was like, hey, I've seen this video online where you can like use sauce to create like this. And he showed me and I was like, let's do it. And I think that's like been the strength, I think, for me is like following a feeling. And I never know how to explain it because I feel like, you know, when you go to school and you go to like design school, everything is very like rules and by the book and principles and things. And I think for me, like it's been really key to like keep that in the back of my head because it is important. And I think like for me, like, for example, like one of the things that I like, I'm a sucker for is layout. So anytime that there's like a clean layout for me, that's like, I love that. So I try to like always like think that about that every time we do something. But I think also like not being afraid to like just take risks and let other people like bring ideas forth and like follow those because that's where the strength is. The strength is in the pack. And yeah, it might be like the one that's like making a decision, but like at the end of the day, like we all win together. And I think that's like the spirit and the mindset at BPN. And it's always been like that. And I mean, whenever I came on, I was the only designer. Now we have three. So when I came on, Nick, I remember one of the first things he did, like when I, the first week that I was here, he like brought me, there was like a team meeting and I had my first team meeting and everybody was there. There was like probably 15 people at that point in the whole company. And he said in front of everybody, like nothing gets published or designed until A-Rod says that it's good. He has all the authority to say yes or no. And to me, like, you know, obviously when you're in a church environment, there's always this conversation about honor and like kind of honoring people in public and empowering people. And I really was like, well, you made this, you created this brand and you're honoring me in this way. You don't even know me. I've done a couple of things for you, but you're like trusting me in this level. So I've always have kept that in my mind. Anything we do is like, I'm not doing it to please him in the sense of like please man. I do want him to be happy with it, but I think he honored me first. So anything that I'm doing now, it's like I want to honor your trust for me, and that you would just let me do whatever I want with your brand is a huge like just insane like thing that anybody would be like, why? Why would you do that? Why would you let this person you never met? But he was so willing to do that, and to this day, like, I can't tell you a single time that Nick's been like controlling or telling me like, don't do that, don't do that. Like, I feel like because of that environment, I'm more like, hey, what do you think about this? And I want to involve him in the process because I want him to like it, but it's always been very reassuring because he's like, so hands off, like do whatever you want. I trust you. So.
Oh, I love that. Well, props to him. That's awesome. I feel like, you know, because so much of the ground floor of the brand was built around him and his content, that it would be a tough baton to pick up, or at least one, it would be a tough one to hand over to somebody.
And it's daunting. It's daunting. I think about it all the time, just because you want to do right by someone like his, the brand BPN is as much Nick as it is a separate brand. I think that's like the conversation we have internally is like, Nick is our avatar. Like right. He is the ideal avatar consumer.
He's the personification of the brand that you guys are.
Yeah. Building, he's right? a person. He's a person. He's a brand, the brand. So you want to do right by that. And I think I always, anytime we create anything, a campaign, I will say that I think we create it and we think it subconsciously, like we're creating it for Nick, because if he likes it, then we know our consumer is going to like it. And the type of consumer that we're trying to acquire is going to like it. So I think that's always been a double-edged sword. You know, it's hard to think about it in that sense. It kind of limits you in a sense, but it also is very freeing because we know Nick and I know Nick and I know what he likes.
Well, you've got your target persona, like, you know, one call or text away, right? Like he's like the perfect barometer.
Yeah. Every week during the week, I'll send him a screenshot of something. I'm like, what do you think of this? And then he's like, I love that. Let's do more of that. Or what do you think of this? Oh, I'm not, you know, I'll get that feedback and then I'll able to kind of lead our team and my team in that way. It's been very helpful.
Well, you said you came in and then the team kind of built, sort of at your direct, like who are you looking for to join the team and how is it built out so far? You said you have two other designers or three other designers, did you say?
Yeah. So, when I came on, Trey, which is my friend that I knew from LSU, he was already there and there was already three other people there in our creative team. So I was, I think, the fifth member, and then we hired another video editor. Okay. But at every point, Nick was our boss because he has always been very involved. And we always say like he was the first creative of the brand. So like we trust that he can make the decisions that he needs to make. Now it has evolved now where like me and Trey are kind of partners and we lead our team together. Trey is more so like analytical, like more like strategic. I'm more like, hey, I don't care what we're saying. I just want it to look good. So we kind of
partner strategy. You're sort of creative in production. Does that?
Yeah, you could say that. And he does, we do that together. I don't think there's like a hard split. I think we definitely work on it together, but, we have, three video editors, two designers. We have two partnerships, seats, and then we have two social media seats. So partnerships dealing with athletes, dealing with influencers.
Gotcha.
And we have our video team obviously creating for our brand. And then we have our social media team. But up to this past year, everything that was like marketing related, like when it came down to like performance marketing, buying ads and all that was handled by our team. Now we split our creative team and our marketing team. So we have a separate marketing team now that has like five people in it. And that has helped us a lot to not be thinking about numbers as much and just like focus on like how the brand looks, how it's perceived. Obviously we work together with them, but right. We don't have to like worry about like numbers as much. So that's been like a real help.
I bet. So as you get into one of these big campaigns, like you guys just came off of Black Friday. When does the planning for that start? And how do you sort of like rise to the occasion for something that's that big? Just so the audience knows, like BPN has one sale a year, right? Like one big sale a year for Black Friday.
We actually kind of broke our own kind of track record. We did a sale during July 4th because been like kind of a new thing that the brands have been doing like a 4th of July sale. So we did that this year. It was the first time we've ever done it. So it was pretty successful. So we're going to keep doing it. Okay. Black Friday is kind of like always been historically like the biggest sale that we do. We are not positioning our brand as a sales brand. I know there's like different strategies, different things that people are like doing in different brands. We never want to be the on sale brand. We want to be like premium brand. We're not going to just always put things on sale or accustom our customers to expect that from us. Because we know we believe in the product and we know you're getting like a really good product. So that's why we've always done one sale a year.
Yeah. Well, what was it like preparing for that? I mean, when did you guys sit down for the first meeting this year?
We started meeting about this probably around August, but truly like before that, like we had already ordered all our apparel, like maybe around May, June, just because things take forever to like get made. And we were really like kind of leaning in more and like doing a lot more custom like work. We were not just printing on blanks. We were like going in like the fits and everything. So it took a lot longer for that. But as far as the campaign goes, it was around August. I mean, for us, the July 4th sale kind of helped us kind of gauge like a reaction of like the creative and how it was received. In the past, I feel like we've gone way too like creative and been like making this big concept. And during the 4th of July sale, we just like, everything's on sale. Like we literally just communicated that and it was very clear and it was good. So we were like, we are not gonna, you know, complicate it. So a lot of the meetings and a lot of everything was like very, like we already knew what to do. So we were just, okay, we just got to do it again for another sale. But there was a lot more of like a lift of all the different things that need to be made in order for the sales. So like every channel, like social media and like YouTube and then like paid advertisement. And then we're doing print stuff and we're doing like new products that are going to be launched during the sale. And then we have our apparel, we have to do a photo shoot. So there's like all these dependencies across so many people. So we would meet once a week about just Black Friday since August, probably. And then as time went on, we kind of ramped up a lot more, like maybe twice a week.
And this is all while you're also coordinating new product drops, because you've done the Go Gels and the Go Bar. Yeah. While you're coordinating the, I feel like there have been at least one or two big races, if not a couple. There have been several races that Nick's run in the last couple.
I mean, we obviously supporting any type of, you know, event that Nick does. But then, you know, this year we went really heavy into events, so like going to other cities and running meetups called athletic clubs. And like that takes a lot of work, you know, from like we're designing t-shirts specific for every city. And then we're going and showing up and we're there for 3 days. And then we're doing expos for marathons. And we were at the four major marathons this year. So we were at Chicago, New York, and then we're going to be at the California International Marathon this weekend. So it's like all those things, like just over time, like it's like an insane amount of work. And there's so many people involved in it. That's right. You know?
So you're making stuff, but you're also sort of like overseeing brand standards and quality as well, right?
Yeah, because that, you know, that's the part. It's like, you know, everybody I think is pretty like aware of my personality and like kind of my MO of like nothing goes out until I kind of see it or have a visual on it. And I have two other guys now in my team that are designing, so I obviously trust them immensely. So if they made it, I'm like, okay, whatever. But just still like having a pulse on like how things are received. And for me as a creative, like the way that I feel like I win is if I'm creating a common thread on everything we're making, because for me is I want to create that sense of like, anytime you see our stuff, it feels like we made it. Like, I don't want it to be surprising in a sense of, did BPN make this? Is this BPN? Like, I want it to instantly, you see it as like, oh, that's BPN. Like, right. BPN made that. So kind of, it's important for me that anytime we do something, we build upon what we did the day before, the month before, the year before. In one way or another. So,
yeah, I feel like there's a real through line to all the work, but that's not to say that there's not a ton of variety and diversification in it. Like you mentioned the athletic club apparel. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, I mean, you don't even have to be a fan of the brand to think all that stuff is awesome. You know, like I feel like you guys can take a left turn on so many of the things that you do. And I've always thought, you know, as an outside observer, that it's very interesting how you guys are able to keep that common thread through everything that you design, but it's so eclectic. Like it's got, there's so many sort of like levels on the equalizer, right? Like it feels like some of it feels throwback and some of it feels, you know, really contemporary. And some of it feels like it pushes the norm for what an athletic brand's supposed to be. And some of it feels, you know, I feel like there's just such a spectrum of stuff that you guys do. And, you know, I wonder how you stay creative and stay coming up with all those ideas when, you know, you could just stick to black and red and gold and like just do the same old BPM thing that every other athletic brand does, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, and this is going to sound like weird and negative, but it's not. I have convinced myself that I'm not selling supplements. Like I have convinced myself that what I'm selling is like a feeling and culture and almost this like thing you can root for and like just like be excited about. And I right. think that's what keeps it like fresh for me, because I'm like I'm a person that is inspired every day by different things. And I want to bring that into my work so that I'm excited about it and it doesn't get repetitive and boring for me. So anytime that I'm feeling something, that I'm like really excited about something, that I saw something that caught my eye, I think it influences the work. And what I do is then I adapt it to fit into the BPN ecosystem of like what we've made. And a lot of that practically looks very like, okay, I saw this one thing that I really like, or people are reacting really well to this music or this album or this thing. How can we take this idea and bring it into us and what we like? And I think that's been very like an exercise that I love to do every time. It's like, okay, what are people like loving right now? What are people like excited about right now? And I'm always collecting, you know, inspiration on Instagram, on social media, screenshotting, things like that. And I'm also very aware of like what makes me tick right now, like the things that make me tick right now. How can I infuse that into BPN? And I think that's been the fun part of it. Because I mean, when we do those charts, like, it's just like, what are we feeling right now? And I'm like, oh yeah, like, you know, we should make it look like the Bulls and then like make it like graffiti style and like make it have a red color. And then whatever comes out of that is going to feel like us, but it's going to feel like, and like it came from somewhere else. Like you said, it came from this left side. And the next time we'll do something else. Like we just did the Go Gel stuff. Like all of that was just very like, hey, I want it to feel like it was like in a science experiment, but it was like futuristic. And I want people to like be in front of the LED wall. And I want it to look very like different than what we've done in the past. And that's what we came up with as a team. And same for Prickly Pear. We did Prickly Pear earlier this year. I was like, no one expects us to like be in a studio and build out a whole set that looks like a desert. And we'll put a weight bench and we'll do a little like fake cactuses and it's going to just look like a desert, but we'll be in a studio and it's okay. People see the lights, people see the cables roller. I don't care, because I want to create that like question in people's mind. Like, why did they do this? What caused them to do this? Cause that's what's going to pique interest. And like, that's what I want. That's what I want people to feel like whenever they look at our stuff.
Man, that's so interesting. It really is cool too, that you mentioned, that it is so story driven rather than, you know, brand guidelines driven, rather than, you know, you're just following the fonts and the colors and the standard practice. You guys are really rooted in these like core themes of the brand, right? I mean, there's the mm-hmm. Go One More, but there's also, you guys launched a big campaign this year that was Prove Yourself Right.
Yeah.
And you know, getting to adopt those mantras and be champions of those stories is something that people can buy into, I feel like, so much more than, you know, just a powder or a gel or a supplement that you take. There's something bigger there. And I think you guys have done that so, so well. How does the story that you talked about stay like universal amongst the whole team? Because you're a lot bigger now, right? You you mentioned earlier that you started with just a few people on the team, and now I know you guys have blown up in terms of your hiring over the last year. Like, how do those stories stay rooted in the brand?
Yeah, I mean, I think that at the core, Go On More is always going to be our kind of our mission and like what we're constantly bringing forward into the forefront of everybody all the time. I think whenever we do a yearly campaign is when we, which we are going to do next year. But when we do a yearly campaign effort is kind of like, we say Go On More is up here, then anything else is like supporting Go On More.
Right.
So we are trying to build depth behind Go On More. So it's just not like this phrase that you could say.
Is that like story brand driven or EOS driven? Like, what is y'all's methodology for maintaining all that?
We've done both of them. And
have you?
I mean, okay. we kind of operate a little bit under EOS, and that has been so helpful and really great. I mean, when we clipped a certain number of people, we had to start doing EOS just to keep accountability and visibility to all the things and the things we wanted to accomplish, right? But I think as far as like the storytelling side of things, I think that just is basically very, very intentional and constant vision from Nick. I mean, I think it all just comes from him because he's always communicating vision. And I think that many leaders kind of get disconnected from their teams. They just like kind of write it on a wall and then they disappear. And Nick is not like that. Like, Nick is going to constantly be communicating like what his vision is. And we have our ears kind of attentive, ready to listen. And when we feel like there's something that kind of moves the needle a certain way because he said it, then we are going to follow that. And we're going to go and tell whatever story that is. And that was kind of what it was for Prove Yourself Right. I mean, from the get-go, it was something that he said. And he was, I think around that time, he was training for the Buffalo Marathon. Mm-hmm. And he was just talking about how, which was at the end of last year, and he was talking about how this is like not to prove anyone else wrong. It was to prove himself right. And when we heard it, we were like, that's our campaign for next year. Like, we need to lean into that because this is building on Go On More. Nick's always going to talk about Go On More. Yeah. But right now in his mind, like, he wants to communicate this message en masse to people. How can we build a campaign around this? And that's kind of how it came about. So it comes from leadership, but it's not like a process of like, oh, like, let's sit down, let's identify the mission, let's like break it down into action points. It's more so like a feeling of like, so, yeah, this feels very meaty. We can like feed a lot of people with this and we can like spin it, change it, do all the things we need to. And obviously we do have like a sit down meeting and think about like all the channels that we have to reach, because when we have that, it's like that's not going to do anything for us. How does this apply to events? How does this apply to social media? How does this apply to everything? Sorry. But like when we came up with that, like instantly we were like, okay, well, let's encourage people to sign up for something hard next year. And that would be like their moment to prove themselves right and not to do it for anybody else, but for themselves. How can we encourage people to do that? Oh, let's put a print piece in every order starting January 1st. That way people have a poster that they can write their goal in, and we'll like put a copy call out saying, hey, write your goal down, make it clear, like commit to it, put it on a wall and do this year. And so many people, you know, send us like DMs and tags on photos of like their poster that they received at the beginning of this year, that they did their goal, that they did their thing. So it's been really cool to see it kind of come to pass. But people are excited. Our team is excited when Nick's excited about it. Because I think that's like what tells us like where the ship is going, in a sense.
It sounds like it happens very organically too. Like, you know, like these things sort of like manifest, and suddenly you've just got all the fuel that you need to run with something, right?
Like, exactly. We had a different plan for next year's campaign that was really good. And we kind of, me and Trey had already started talking about messaging and like what we're going to say. And we were actually already, I think I already pitched it to Nick and he liked it. But then like the following week, he did a podcast and he said something that Nick felt like was really important for the brand. He said, this is who we are. Like, this is important to me. And then instantly me and Trey was like, this is what it should be. So then we like ditched our previous plan and we changed it. And now we're like kind of rolling with that. And we're excited about it because Nick's excited about it. But yeah. It didn't happen in like a meeting. We didn't set a meeting. And I feel like we're definitely holding everything very loosely for the sake of creativity. And also like the best idea wins. That's like always something that Nick's always said. It's like the best idea always wins. It doesn't have to be his. And I think we all definitely believe that and like live by that. So I think I, as a designer, as a brand director, like I feel like it's my duty to like hold everything very loosely. I mean, I'm definitely a stickler for certain things. Like, you know, we never show our main logo VPN and like other colors in white or black. But like, aside from that, I'm like, let's just do everything. Like, I don't really care. Like use all the fonts, you know? So it's a balance. There has to be structure, but there also has to be room to grow and move.
I love that, man. You guys crush it. I wonder, like, with everything that's going on and the pace and the fluidity of everything, like, you know, I see you posting your runs and stuff like that. I heard you talk about your faith. Like, what keeps you far away from burnout and grounded, and what's the routine that you keep that, like, you know, keeps you from being on that computer all day every day?
Yeah, definitely. I think that I as time goes on and as time has gone on, as I'm 31 now, I've realized that not everything is death or life, and not everything is worth dying on every hill. So I think that has helped me a lot in my career, just to like, hey, this can wait till tomorrow. Like it's fine. Yeah. I think practically, I have experienced burnout before, and it definitely got me to a place where I like didn't like my career and my roles and everything. And
sure.
I don't like that. You know, I love what I do every day, and I don't want to get to that place. And I think now I feel a sense of responsibility because I have other people that I'm responsible to, that I lead, that I need to model that for them if I'm expecting that of them. So, like you said, running has been huge for me this year. I mean, it's been the hardest thing ever, just because I'm not naturally built like a runner. I'm 6'1", like not skinny at all. And it's been really hard, but it's been very like therapeutic just to like, you know, go outside and like for an hour, not really think about anything else but one foot in front of the other. I think it's a great metaphor of life, you know, like take one step, don't worry about the following next mile.
I think one of the coolest pieces of content that I saw that went out this year was you running a marathon, and Nick, who is the CEO of the company, like taking the time to make sure that he was there with you every step of the way and making sure to like be an encourager and making sure to give you the resources to do it. I thought that was really cool, just in terms of like the kind of job you want to have and like the kind of boss you want to have. That seemed really legit.
Nick is literally one of the best people I've ever met. In general, like the most generous, the most caring for people, and just who he is as a person that has never been different since I met him to now. Whether he gets more success or has a kid or anything, he's the same person, the most constant. So it's been really, really refreshing. And I think for me, like in that moment too, like I started running because I was looking for something other than what I do every day. And I think that's been a key to not experience burnout. It's like, okay, I do this every day, but this is not who I am as a person. Like it's not everything about me. Like there's other things I enjoy. I enjoy playing Nintendo sometimes. I enjoy going for a walk. I enjoy going out with friends. I enjoy, you know, reading my Bible, or like, you know, all these other things that I enjoy doing. Like I need to be doing that when I'm not working. And I think that's like practically what I do to not go to burnout. But I think like at a mental level, I think realizing that it's not that serious, it's like a lesson that I think I've had to learn the hard way. It's like, this is not life or death. Very few things are life or death. You do not need to be doing this right now. You can do this tomorrow. Like there are like very few times where you do have to spend that extra hour at home sending something, an email, a file, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case every day.
Right. That's That's a great lesson, man. And I think that that's something that I hear over and over, is that like fire of creativity has to be fueled by things that are not just designing in Photoshop and in Figma every day. Like, you've got to have different inputs and different outlets. Just to fully round out your self-expression. Because if you're really in charge of telling a story, it's not going to be something that you can just do by the book every day. You've got to take your mind out of it and let it explore other things to be able to come back fresh with a quality perspective that resonates with people. Because
I feel that responsibility, like, to look besides myself, like, of what's happening in the world and be aware of it, because that's like essentially what, like, when you're like hyper focused on work, is what you're saying is nothing else matters. Like, this is the only thing that matters. And to me, like, there's so much happening around me, not only bad things, good things. There's so many good and also bad things happening around me. I want to show up to work and be able to react to the world so that it feels like it's real. It doesn't feel manufactured. It doesn't feel...
That's the right word, yeah.
Sometimes people that are not aware of what's happening come across as like tone deaf. Like, I don't want to show up with anything we do, anything I do, and feel like I missed it because I was not aware of what's happening in the world. And I think a lot of creatives, you know, especially when they're young, like, I mean, I'm 31 now, but when I was young, I really wanted to put in my reps and I wanted to show that I could, you know, that I could grind. But I think there comes a time where you have to realize, like, you can be just as effective if you get those 8 hours of rest and you get those, you know, healthy rhythms of, you know, going to work out every day or every other day and eat right, or all these things are just as important as you being able to do your work.
There's value in health, and there's certainly value in perspective. And a lot of young designers don't know that. A lot of young designers are ready for the world on day one, and they're ready for that big payday on day one. And they get antsy in their career at their very first spot, and they're not willing to be humble and, you know, grind it out, put those reps in, you know, there's a tremendous amount of pressure to, over deliver and, you know, pull the all nighter and, do something fantastic every day. But as you go on in your career, you start to realize, like, I can put in a hectic day, or I can put in a quality hour. And a lot of the times those are the same thing. The results are going to be the exact same, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
That's absolutely true. Well, you guys seem to have lightning in a bottle. So encouraging to know that you're there working at BPN to bring the brand to life. So fantastic to know that Nick is empowering that and encouraging that. I think the world of what you do, and I'm just so excited to see where it goes next in the new year.
Thanks, man. No, I appreciate it. I mean, we're still figuring it out. I think that that's on the outside looking in, sometimes people think that it's just like perfect, like you have a plan and you have a whatever. I'm like, I show up every day and I look at my list of to-dos and I'm like, okay, here we go, you know. And I think that's the beauty of it, like, just, hey, let's go every day, one more day, kind of in our whole like going more thing. It's like, just one more and then it'll all figure itself out. I think so. Super thankful that I get to do that every day, and I'm super thankful to Nick because he kind of opened the door for me, like, to be doing this. So it's been really great.
What a jump start, man. And, you know, fingers crossed, Jaden Daniels, we've got his sights on Heisman, and then maybe future BPN athlete, you know, NIL. Dude, I mean, opens up all kinds of doors, right?
I mean, we're still not stepping into NIL as much, but he would be one that I would be like, hey, we need to reach out.
Jaden and Livy, man. That's what I want to see in the future. You guys work on that for me.
All right. I'll put them down.
Alex, how can everybody find you? Where can they check you out on? What's your preferred platform?
I'm addicted to Instagram, probably to a fault. So you can find me at AAARODD A-Rod. 3 A's, 2 D's.
AAARODD. We got you, man. We got you. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And been so gracious with your time. Excited for everybody to hear the story, and talk to you again soon.
Thanks, man.
So glad you joined me for another episode of The Creative Brief. Be sure to check back next Monday when my guest is Mark Himian, and we explore the secrets of the universe. No joke. Now, supporting this podcast is easy. All I need you to do is subscribe wherever you're listening. It helps me produce more episodes and broaden the reach of this podcast. As always, thank you for listening. I'm Brian Athey. See you next time.